What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome to episode 90 of The Breeze Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, John McCollum, here in Toronto. With my boy,
Victor White, back in, up to the, it depends where you are, but I'm in Sweden.
Yeah, I forgot to say, I keep forgetting to say, Breeze Podcast, where your word of mouth is our oxygen. I keep forgetting to say that, ish, bro, but forgive me, guys.
Guys, what we mean by that is you gotta spread this podcast by word of mouth. That's our growth model.
That's all it means. That's all it means.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, you got anything to say before we roll this intro?
Yeah, roll this intro.
It's good, bro. It's good. Talk to me.
I know this might be a little bit wrong to say, but I think I was the subject to racism Monday.
Why is it wrong to say?
No, obviously it's not wrong to say, but I okay, so I'm just going to tell you what happened. So we go to one of my girlfriend's friends, and they're having a barbecue party, right? It's me and this other guy who's like brown skinned, right? And everyone else is white. Nothing wrong with that. That's like usually the case in Sweden. Yeah. Anyhow, so we play this game called Jungle Speed. And there was a table next to the thing. Obviously, I say hi to everyone when I get there. But when I'm lying down, and like it's like in between a game or something, this guy with shades and boots on walks past. And he kind of, you know, his boot... It, like, my feet was there, but it's like he didn't mind my feet, you know? And he didn't say anything either, you know? Just like, yeah. You know, some... but I didn't think anything more of that. I was like, maybe just drunk or whatever. I don't know. I was like, you know, sometimes you do that. You accidentally bump into someone or something like that. Anyhow, so... then when we're supposed to go... I go around and obviously I'm going to say bye to everyone. So that guy and four other guys are by a table, but four of them are playing a game. So I ask them, I'm like, oh, what game are you playing? And he says, it's a four-player game, I'm sorry. And I was just baffled and I was like, yeah, but you can explain it. So just like, it's a four-player game. It's like, okay. Yes,
they want you to play.
So I moved, but we were leaving anyway. And it's kind of like, obviously, bro, I have no idea if this guy's racist or not. I have no idea. But I just like, because everyone else there is so nice, like Australian guys, it's like... You know, a couple guys from the U.S. Like, it's a good mix of people. But that was just super, super weird. And then my girlfriend, she was like, oh. Like, you know, because to everyone it became such a thing that he was such an asshole. Like, when I asked about the game, like, and then people started getting apologetic. And like, oh, I'm so sorry for his behavior or whatever. And she asked me, and I'm like, I couldn't even care less to even care, like, I don't even give a fuck to give a fuck, because, like, that guy is such a loser, like, you could see it, bro. Not, like, so what I told my girlfriend, I'm like, in whatever room I'm in, I walk in with the like self-confidence of knowing what I've done previously in my life. So if something like that happens, I don't even put the energy towards whatever, like it doesn't even faze me. It just, you know, because I know if I were to ask him, okay sir, what have you done with your life, he hasn't done shit, you know, he's nobody. And I'm on this, you know, great trajectory, you know. And this might sound a little, I don't know how it comes across, but it just, like, that's just the way I think. And that's just why it didn't bother me. But it did bother my girlfriend and, like, her friends that were there. And, like, they wrote and, like, oh, so sorry about what happened with the guy or whatever. And I just found it interesting because it wasn't until afterwards I realized that maybe... maybe that guy is a racist. Maybe because of everything going on, that was his way of, like, expressing, I don't know.
How he felt.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, suppressed.
So, I have a question.
Yeah.
What's the status, like, in Sweden right now? I was talking to a guy that was actually in Sweden. Like, he's, like, a producer over there.
Yeah.
He was, like, he's kind of neutral.
Yeah.
In a sense, like not a lot of protests, stuff like that.
Yeah, they had, this weekend they had a few big ones. Or one big one that I know of. But, yeah, it's... I don't know, like, I feel like, so the third biggest party in Sweden is, like, a racist party.
Really?
Yeah. They're, like, huge. But in terms of... okay, wait, something happened to my logic. Okay, it's still recording. Sorry. Okay. I was just asking if I wanted to use the Bose headphones as an audio source. But yeah, in terms of race, like protesting for Black Lives Matter in the US, like personally, I feel like Swedish people are so detached from what's going on in the US and like what racial oppression really is.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, John. And I kind of feel like this country is like, obviously it has tons of racism. That third largest party in the country says a lot about that, you know. In terms of racial oppression, I'm not really sure, like, you know, obviously that happens here, but to me, like, it's a pretty, I think the word is homogenic country with a lot of white people here, you know. It's not that culture, not that, like when I went to Toronto, bro, I got, it was like this crazy experience for me because it was so culturally diverse apart from Sweden, you know.
Sure.
So
I was just curious because like when you look at what's happening around the globe in terms of like the support for what's happening in America, it's like you can see it, like, clearly, you know what I mean? So I just wanted to know, like, how, like, what was, like, the stance in Sweden?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, so, but yeah, so in like, Sweden is a neutral country, you know, so, like, if you look historically, yeah, like, that kind of says a lot.
True that.
Yeah, so what about... I had more things going on my week, but I feel like we need to touch upon this important subject. But I want to hear about your week, bro.
Yeah, bro, I agree. Like, I feel we should move. I mean, like, for me, not much happened. Just the same routine, working, studying, like, the history, really trying to understand history. Like, that takes a good portion of my day. If I'm not working or sleeping or eating, that's what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So for me, that's been my routine the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Like, I haven't been to any protests. Like, I mean, there've been quite a few, but I feel like Corona is still a thing. So like, I'm not really trying to. I went to Robert's place last week. I saw Robert and Harsh. Robert has a new place. Yeah, bro, he can.
Our Nigerian bro.
He actually started his new job. I think he started already.
Can we say where he works?
Yo, people could find... Like, if you want to know where he works, like, just go on LinkedIn and find it, bro. Like,
okay. Because I don't remember. That's why I asked.
I'm going to talk to Ma's business out. Like.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so his place is actually pretty sick. Yeah, that was... That was it, bro. I didn't do much other than that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's... It's a big weight, this Black Lives Matter movement, to be honest with you, John. At least that's what I feel alongside so many others. And...
Bro, it's a lot, you know?
Like John, John, how does it make you feel as a young black man in 2020?
Wait, should we cut this to chopped up? Should we put this in Chopped Up?
Yeah. Do you want to roll Chopped Up now? Because yeah, we're making it a shorter episode, yeah.
Yeah, we roll it. We can talk about this in Chopped Up.
Yeah.
Bro, like, I'll say this. It is hard, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's definitely... It's not like we didn't know this was happening, but it's now... We're living in a time where, like, we can't, like, openly talk about it, you know what I mean? And we can openly try to get some change. Like, before, people would talk about it, and it would be kind of, like, shoved under the rug. But, like, the pandemic plus this, I feel like everyone was just at home.
Yeah.
And it really had a lot of time to think. And you know what I mean? Like, it really had a lot of time.
Seeing what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're seeing, like, social media... You're seeing this stuff, like, people would get upset, you know what I mean? Like, I got upset. I don't live in America, bro, but, like, I'm black, you know what I mean? Like, when I go to America, I'm black the same way as if I'm from America or not from America, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I should be able to drive, like, my rental in America without the worry of getting pulled over. And, like, I watched a video, I think I told you this last week, but I'll say again, like, this a video I watched last week. Just like parents talking to their kids, telling them how to react whenever they have any interaction with the police. I was like, bro, this is, that's sad. You know what I mean? Like, when you look at it in the, when you step back and look at it in the macro, it's like, you understand people, like black people are fighting against racism and it's portrayed as if they're fighting against America. So you understand how deeply ingrained like racism is in America.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And like, I, and I watched, as you said, the 13th, which shows you like how it's engraved in the, like, the system, or, you know, so I fully get you, bro.
And like, it's crazy that it's not that long ago. You know what I mean? Like, you, like, even before this whole thing happened, you'd sit and think like that was like ages ago. But I mean, like, in the 1950s, you had to, like, black people had to pay $2 to vote. You know what I mean? Like, that's not that long ago, bro. Like, my parents, my grandparents are still alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, having to pay to vote.
So, John, can I ask you something that I think ties up well with Chopped Up? How do you feel about this thing going around, like, support black-owned businesses and buy from them, etc.?
I mean, I agree with it. Like, I support it 100%, but I feel like the whole narrative around black-owned businesses has to change as well. You know what I mean? Like, the narrative around black-owned businesses, like, is always... Even back home, bro, like Barbados, like, you go to a black-owned business, you go in, people expect a discount, or they don't hold it to the same esteem as, like, a halu or... you know what I mean? It's like, because people...
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, go ahead.
No, it kind of makes me furious because I feel like, yes, supporting black-owned businesses is probably a good thing, but suppressing your usual wherever you go and buy or whatever does not help solve the problem. And when it comes to business, it's a competitive landscape. So winners win and losers lose.
No,
so
but then you also got to understand, like, the foundation that business was built on was not made for black people to
succeed. Okay, so that's, you know, the ground upon...
So that's where it's coming from. It's not like, okay, like, we just want to support. Like, it's more like, okay, we got to give these man them a chance. Because, like, there's so many... if you put... It's same quality, but it's just like, is this mentality where it's lesser than because it's black owned? That's the mentality that.
Because I just
has. I mean, it's so much things that have to change. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we agree on that 100%. But I just, like, it's the same thing with equal rights between men and women. Like, I don't give a shit if you're a man or a woman. Like, the person that does the best job should have the job. The person that does it the best should get paid more. Do you get what I mean? Like, I would hate to see leeway just because of this like, if, bro, if, like, let's take my university application as an example. Like, if I got in to this Stockholm School of Economics because of this color of my skin, like, and that made it easier, instead of me, like, competing against everyone else, and having to do the hard work like everyone else, that would just, I don't know, it wouldn't make me feel good, you know?
So my question is, you know, it's like, okay, that's one side, but the other side is, what if you exceed, and you're better than all the rest and you still don't get in? Like, what do you say then?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
That's obviously the argument that's being made.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's not like one is better than the other. It's just is equal opportunity. You know what I mean?
That's all man and we're fighting for. Equal opportunity is the most important thing.
Equal opportunity in businesses, okay, a black man and a white man walk into a bank.
Yeah.
They both have the same credit score. Yeah, they both have the same assets. They both should get the same loan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, that doesn't happen now. And because that doesn't happen now, like, obviously, one business should succeed more than the other one.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's so much things that have to change. Like, even growing up in Barbados, I remember, like, when you used to speak English, like, proper English, people would be like, why are you talking so white? You know what I mean? Like, you're just talking English, bro. Like, why is me talking proper English, talking white? Like, why am I not just talking English? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that happens in Barbados every day. Mm-hmm. So, like, the mentality of white is better is just, like, that got done. You know what I mean? Like, equality is where it's at. Equality is where it should always be. Like... Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me ask you...
Last 100 years messed up.
Yeah. So John, how do you feel about the fact that you're... Because my girlfriend, she's... I guess you'd call her brown, I guess. Iranian. And your girlfriend is white, I guess. Right?
Yeah.
And so how... Like, how do you feel about... that, like, because obviously, like, we think about these things and we carry this burden, but, like, in reality, you know, our girlfriends, they're not black, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like it's not white versus black, you know. Is
no everybody versus racist. Definitely not.
It's everybody. Like, for me, it's like everybody versus racist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
That don't make no difference to me.
But the depth to my question is, like, let's say you guys have kids and that stuff, and your kids would turn out like me, you know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, but my kids, I'll still have to have the same conversations with my kids regardless, because they'll be black.
That's so true.
The conversations regarding how to interact with police, like, it doesn't matter if your skin is fair, like, you're definitely gonna have the same problems, because you're black regardless. You know what I mean? So, like, that don't change. Like, once I'm in the equation, like, that don't change. Just that don't change, bro. Like, same conversations. Like, I mean, I will ask you, you know what I mean? Like,
So the reason I wanted to get down this line is not, well, I kind of feel like there should be a country for mixed people like myself, because, like, when I'm in Barbados, sometimes I'm white, you know, and when I'm in Sweden, like, I'm black, you know, and then when it fits, you're white, and when it fits, you're black, and it's like you don't really fit anywhere, you know. Like, you're fully...
Yeah, but that's what we're trying to fight. That's, like, that's what it is. You know what I mean? Like, why...
No, but this is something else, bro. Because this is, like, even more confusing. This is something that's, like... I'm not saying this is... Obviously, like, racism is worse. It's way worse. And, like... But the only thing that I'm trying to say is that... I felt like I fit in Toronto because it's culturally diverse. That I did. But what I'm trying to say is, usually, like, if you're mixed like me, and I'm in Barbados, and you're light skin, and, you know, it's... And then when you're... Like, the same jokes that they pull in Barbados, they pull in Sweden, you know? But the other way reversed. So it's like... So then you get a sense that you don't fit anywhere, and you want to start your own country for just mixed people. I'm kidding.
Nah, I feel you. I get what you're saying, man. Like, I feel like...
Because I feel...
I guess it could be equated to how, like, Black Americans feel. Because they feel like they don't belong in America, and they also don't belong in Africa.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like...
But still, I don't know. Because, John, then when I think I'm like, I'm as much white as I am black. So then one might start questioning one's blackness. Like, how black am I, you know? Or how white am I, you know? So, and then fair. That whole thing comes along, you know? So, that's just a bit confusing.
I get you.
But it's not confusing for me because I have my deep roots
in Barbados. Yeah, I was about to say, like, look at you. Like, if you... A perfect example is you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Turn out pretty well still.
but what I would say, it would be confusing if my mom was like, if she kept me in Sweden and like I didn't get any of the Bajan culture and like, you know, that, because there are tons of those cases where white women True. Get black men to give them kids and just because they think the color is cute, you know?
True.
Yeah.
True.
But yeah. Nah. Yeah, it's racism. It's such a
such a
weird thing.
Like, we're still dealing with this. I mean, we will be dealing with it for a while. Like, if you're being honest, like, yeah. But this is the start. You know, like, this is the start of making something happen.
So, what do you feel about the fact that they now want big companies to have like 30% of the company should be represented by black people, and like if there's no black people on the board, there should be black people on the board, and like that whole thing?
What do you feel? How do you feel about that?
I'd say it depends. Like, so I read the Morning Brew this morning, and like if it's Adidas,
yeah, true,
like I guess it makes sense. But then again, like I said earlier, like if you do the job good and correctly and... But before you say that, I'm probably going to say what you're going to say. There's already a disadvantage to being black. So there's already a disadvantage to even getting into those positions because the color of your skin, right? So obviously you would tackle that. But... To me, it'd be so much easier if nobody saw color in the first place, and you could just like have this kind of equilibrium. But that's not the case. So somehow you have to even it out, or you have to like, you know.
Like, I feel like the best way right now is through legislation. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like what you're saying, I agree with you. Like, they shouldn't have to do that. But I was living in the perfect world where no one sees any color, and it's just like. If that was the case, like, we wouldn't be in this situation, you know what I mean? Yeah. But just seeing, like, if you just look at senior leadership across all, like, most of the S&P companies, bro, like, there's, like, probably less than 1%, you know what I mean, in those positions. And, like, you know better than anyone, like, the position where we would love to be in, like, where we see ourselves in a couple years, even when you look at those people, there's not that many. Bro. You know what I mean? It's not that many people that look like you and me that become billionaires, and I think it's a good step, just because it forces some type, like, even if people don't want to do it, it forces some type of change in that corporate world.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wish you didn't have to do it, but that's living in the perfect world where everyone is equal, and that's not the world we're living in. You know what I mean? So,
I will say this: if you can't beat them, join them. And I'm not talking about the races. I'm talking, and this is why I love Chamath Palihapitiya, right? Because he's a brown billionaire, self-made, like, immigrant to Canada from, like, Malaysia or some Philippines or something like that. Hustled his way up the ladder. So, like, my whole line of thinking, the way I've always thought, John, is that, like, nothing is handed to you. You have to work for everything yourself. And Samat says that there's roughly like 150 people that controls the world, more or less, that owns like a majority of the assets in the world, etc., etc. And I believe that's true. And yeah, every one of them push their own narrative of how they think the world should work and shape it and whatnot, whatnot. So to everyone who is black out there, who is like, just fight, get as much freaking power you possibly can, whether that's capital or social capital. Just do that and then push a healthy narrative out. I feel like, because that, like, I had this argument with my granny, and it's so frustrating because she's like, oh, you gotta go study university, Victor. You gotta go to the university. And now when I'm like, when I'm, I've applied to the, like, the best finance school in one of the best ones in Europe, she's like, she comes and says like, you should be a police. You'd be good as a police. And I'm like, granny, no way in hell that I would be a cop. Plus, if I'm in business, I have a lot, like, way more tools of implementing change rather than...
How old is your granny?
83, 84.
That's a different, like, that's a different lifetime there, bro. Like, that's a different... That's like... I mean, she's like... Yeah, we gotta respect the old people and stuff, but, like, that's still... Like, even our parents, bro. Like, our parents are still, like, in a different... lifetime. The things that they believe are like they can't flight. Like, if, like, that being said, like, I mean,
all don't respect be a cop, to like, the elders, obviously.
Yeah, but like,
Mama, Papa, McCollin, like, and Mama, Victor White.
But it's like, I feel like at this time we know what's good. Like, we know what's better. Yeah. You know, we know what's best for, like, moving forward, you know what I mean?
If I, but if I could just...
But the sad thing is, but the sad thing is the people that, like, if you look at America, the people that run the country are in that age, like, people are running for president 70 years old, bro, like, so then you're like, how can things change when that's the case? But we'll see what happens, man.
The thing that I wanted to say was, stand your fucking ground when it comes to human rights and racism, and fucking shoot it down. But when it comes to getting yours, you should go after and freaking get yours. If, like, if you're 100%. There, if you're there in the march and you feel like nothing is happening, well, it makes sense. But if you work and you fight and you hustle your way to the top of society, then you actually have power to implement change. So
there are definitely a lot of different angles that we can, that you can take advice to make change.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the route that we're on is definitely that social capital and actual capital, where we have that power to make that change in the next couple of years. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's what I'm going for, at least. Like,
No. Oh, Logic is still alive. Okay, John, let's just pause and let me save this now, and then we can continue the recording, okay? Bro, I got a crazy idea. Probably the worst. Can we just touch, like, three subjects on Chopped Up? That's not about this whole race. I think it's running fresh for time. Yeah. So, first one, S&P's reached all-time highs. I don't know what's up with that, but it essentially regained, like, many trillions of dollars of loss. And it's from institutional investors, meaning people like you and I sitting at home feeling like it's a good idea to buy bankrupt companies. That's the first thing. John, quick take outcome. What will happen?
Quick take what?
Will we continue up, or was this just like a little blip and then a major crash again?
Yo, I don't know, man. Like, I leave that for you. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. Second thing is my tax returns. Every year when I get my tax returns, I invest money, right? So I got my tax returns this year. However, since coronavirus, I lost about 6,000 euros worth of jobs, like, that got canceled. So I haven't been able to do that. What I will try to do is, like, scramble together $500 that I'm going to let you pick the companies where to invest, John. And I'm going to buy... You can pick either one or two companies, and then we can see how they'll perform against the two ones that I picked last year.
Okay, fair. Yo, we should buy Warner Chapel Music. Warner Music Group.
Warner Music Group. So is that your buy?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so that's what I'll do. And then the last thing... I actually forgot the last thing that I was going to say on Chopped Up, but yeah. What was the last thing? I can't believe that I forgot it just now. Well, I guess the... Well... concussions. My concussion listeners, I have a few. I've had a few heavy concussions, so I'm going to blame it on that.
Yeah, I'll blame it on the concussions, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, bro. John, I think I'm going to get into Stockholm School of Economics. I'm sorry for calling it early, but my GPA is 19.39. Last year...
Yeah, I think you'll get in, bro.
The lowest intake was... The bar was 19.29.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. That's kind of interesting. We'll
see. Celebrate on the podcast. Definitely. Get a bottle.
Definitely, bro. You can
pop some bottles.
That's kind of major. John, tell me something I don't know, okay?
What's up?
Just tell me something I don't know.
Yo, did you know that the light bulb was not invented by Thomas Edison? It was actually invented by a black man. I forgot his name.
Okay, interesting.
Did you know that?
No, I did not know that. In the same way, I did not know the richest man through all history was Mansa Musa. Muramasa.
True that.
Mansa Musa.
Yeah, bro.
You also taught me that. So, thanks for your eternal knowledge, John.
Yeah, I learned that last night. I was watching a YouTube video.
Nice.
About fair.
Yeah. Guys, sorry for... Like, these episodes, they're, like, so what happened last week was we recorded a full episode. It was really heavy on the both of us. And we went into these issues that we touched upon lightly this week compared to last week. But because of some technical difficulties, my computer shut down. And we couldn't recover the file. So sorry about that short form episode. However, this is episode 90. We're 10 episodes from 100. What I want to ask you before we wrap this up, John, how do you feel about being locked up? Because it's driving me mad.
Bro, I try to get outside every day, man. Like, I try to get outside. Like, it's like the good thing about it, I don't feel too bad just because the weather is good, you know? Like, if the weather was horrible.
You literally can't leave the country, bro. That's like insane.
Yeah, I can't leave the country, but like
I can't leave the country either, bro.
That's reasonable. I mean, it's not bad. Like, I don't mind. I don't mind it on the fact that I can still, like, I go outside, get some sun, make music. Like, I don't mind, man. Like,
you're weird. I mind it.
It's not super bad.
I mind it. I wanna freaking... Like, I wanna fly somewhere. I haven't been, like...
I mean, I was supposed to be in LA all now, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I was supposed to be in Los Angeles from last week.
Yeah.
Like, I saw it in my calendar, I was like, sigh. I was, like, heartbroken. Then I was like, it's all good, man. Like, so much happened in this quarantine.
Yeah.
That was like, it probably wouldn't happen if it wasn't quarantine. So, I ain't worried, man. Like, I'm just trying to hope it finishes, like, at least July. I'm hoping that we can leave the country. Now we still can't leave. Like, we can't even go to the US. But I'm hoping stuff turns around soon, man.
Fingers crossed. And with that, listeners, have a fantastic week.
We out.
Bye.